Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
All my bets were safe. There just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome into the latest Behind the Bets podcast. We are taping this on Tuesday, November 26th. It is Thanksgiving week, feast week, if you are a college basketball fan. So, lot of moving parts here in Bristol in terms of schedules. And then the games obviously start earlier, so we taped both college and NFL today, and we'll get those pods posted. John Murray's going to be joining us momentarily. We'll do the baby bankroll bonanza. Solid performance from yours truly, your fearless leader here. I'm finally, hopefully, turning the corner here. No Mike Clay. The props aren't out. Just that simple. So no Mike Clay on this pod. Maybe he'll follow up via Twitter, but plenty of Mr. Executive Director and Taylor filling in for the hurt Travis, if you will. Hurt, he's at sick at home. Taylor, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Travis can't even swallow water right now, so he's in bad shape.
Really?
Yes, well, that's the word.
That is no good at all. I'm sorry to hear that. Travis, get well soon, and let's get to some wins.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
Oh, boy, even Jerry Jones is on the train, John Murray, calling out his head coach, Jason Garrett.
That was one of my favorite field goals of the year. I mean, we needed Dallas huge in that game. We took some pretty big bets on the Patriots. They led 6.5 early in the week. They led 5.5 there at the end. We were hoping they would kick a field goal. We didn't think they would actually do it, though, because you can't possibly kick a field goal there down by 7. But they did, and we won.
Yeah, it's really mind-boggling, just given the situation. There's actually a guy on, you know, I don't like throw him under the bus, but like he's like calling me out on Twitter. He's like, he thought it was like the right move. I'm just like, look, dude, his rationale was there was still time with 6:08 to go to get two more field goals.
And I was two more like, field goals? I don't agree with that, but you know, you got to look at the game itself too. What was the final score of that game? 13-9. With the weather there, you can't. If you're Dallas, you cannot expect to get back all the way down there to score a touchdown again. If that was a super high scoring game in the 40s, I guess maybe you could think, okay, we'll be back down here again. I guess we could kick a field goal. I still would have gone for it. But in a really low scoring game like that, you have to think this is your one and only chance down in the red zone, and you got to score right now.
Yeah, it was crazy, and it's funny. Sometimes it doesn't work that way, but when you saw all the, you know, the weather and everything, the under really looked like a good play. I was all about it myself, and sure enough, the weather was a factor. And Brady in this offense does not look that potent. Now, that's not breaking news. I get it. We've discussed this a lot, but it's really noticeable.
Well, yeah, I mean, really, the only touchdown New England scored in that game was they blocked a punt, and then Brady did make a nice throw to Nikhil Harry in the end zone for a touchdown. But other than that, Brady didn't do anything in that game. Sony Michel really doesn't look like the player he was last year. I think it's the offensive line. I don't think it's a coincidence that like all the skill position players on the Patriots are struggling. They can't block anybody right now.
That's the thing. Brady, you know, has the worst completion percentage of any quarterback in the NFL, qualifying quarterbacks, so 33 of them, under pressure, 27.3%. That was going into the game. And clearly,
yeah, I mean, he's struggling big time right now. And I saw a stat that, you know, the Patriots are 10-1. And in their 10 wins, the most points they've given up, 14. I mean, they're winning every game like 17-9, 13-9, 17-10. It's got nothing to do with the offense.
Right you are, my friend. Right you are. And it's crazy. And then this discussion on the heels of last night and what the Ravens did to the Rams and what they've been doing, just an absolute machine. Lamar Jackson, yeah. It just makes you wonder, like, what's been going on all along in terms of, I don't know. It's just, we've always felt like, oh, you can't run this type of offense in the NFL, and look what's happening.
Well, it's great to see because, I spent a lot of time making fun of NFL front offices, making fun of NFL coaching staffs. It's great to see a team as smart as Baltimore. They drafted this generational talent in Lamar Jackson, such a unique player, and then they went and they tailor-made the offense around his skills. They picked up running backs that are good out of the shotgun. I was reading about that yesterday. They've got a great offensive line. Everything is built specifically for Lamar Jackson, and he is just flourishing. Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, everybody's on the same page. And it's cool to see because you see so many times in the NFL where they draft the quarterback and they try to make that quarterback fit into their offense, even if maybe it doesn't work best with that guy.
Right.
The Ravens have gone the other direction. They've built an offense specifically for their QB, and he looks like he's on his way to the MVP award.
Well, that's the thing. That MVP race, is it over?
I don't know that it's over, but, last night, such a high-profile game. The Ravens have another very high-profile game coming up this week. I'm sure we'll get into that. They play the 49ers in a game that, for some reason, is at 1 Eastern. But I don't know that it's over, but certainly Lamar Jackson now minus money at the Superbook. We lose a lot on Lamar Jackson, so it's something of an artificial number, but Lamar Jackson deserves to be minus money right now.
So he's the favorite right now, right?
Oh, absolutely. He's minus money. We're looking between minus 200 and minus 300 on Lamar, hoping to ride a bet on somebody else because we think he's going to win.
It's just crazy. Was he 50 to 1 this summer?
I think we had guys 200 to 1 on Lamar Jackson. Think back to the last time we saw him before this season, the wild card game against the Chargers when he almost got benched. We had guys, looks like we had 10 tickets bet on him at 200 to 1 all back in July. We went to 100 to 1 and a few people got in at 100 to 1 also in July. So it looks like when the season started, he was down to 50 to 1. But there's bigger bets than that coming in from the summer.
So you guys take a hit pretty hard, huh?
Yeah, we do. We definitely do. But I'll say this, not as much as we lost when he won the Heisman Trophy in 2016. So Lamar Jackson, the guy he's cost us a few bucks over the years.
Yeah, well, that's good. So, yeah, it's just awesome. And their defense has improved significantly. I know I was on the Browns at the Ravens earlier this year, but then they trade for Marcus Peters, and their defense just looks so much more stout, even against the run, too. They look really good. And are they the highest power-rated team do you have?
Yeah, at this point, Baltimore, it'd really be hard to say they're not the best team in the NFL. They would be favored against anybody on a neutral field. We even see, they're playing the 49ers. Think about how good the 49ers looked on Sunday night against Green Bay. They manhandled Green Bay. 49ers are 10-1, and Baltimore's a 6-point favorite against them on Sunday.
I thought it touched 7 last night and it came back down, I guess.
It's possible. Not here, but it's possible in the offshore market. We reopened it at 6 after the Monday night game. We're still there. I can't speak for all the offshore books.
Right. Wow, man. Are you going to jump in front
of consider the 49ers would be undefeated right now if Kyle Shanahan simply runs one running play in overtime against Seattle on Monday night 2 weeks ago. They'd be undefeated. They'd be 10-0-1, and they're getting 6 points on Sunday.
Still.
Yes, Baltimore is the highest power-rated team in the league, for sure.
Yeah, makes sense. It's crazy. They look unbeatable.
I don't know about unbeatable, but they look to be head and shoulders above the league right now. I guess argue that they're peaking too early, if you believe in that sort of thing, which I don't really believe in that sort of thing, but you can make that argument, but they look like a team that's going to be very tough to beat. New England needs to keep winning, or they're going to get stuck playing the AFC Championship game in Baltimore, and I don't think they want to do that.
No, they probably don't. So how was the rest of the weekend? So you guys lost big on the Ravens last night.
The Monday night game was very bad for us, but the rest of the week was pretty good, actually. We won a lot on that New England game that I mentioned earlier. We won a lot on the Jets. The Jets beating the Raiders was a big win for us. The Redskins beating the Lions, was a big win for us. The only game we really got beat on Sunday, everybody bet Seattle like crazy in Philadelphia.
Really?
And we took a big loss on that game. Yeah, that was a very, very popular public side, Seattle. And that line got all the way to Seattle as a 2-point favorite, and they were still laying it. And we got it handed to us on that game. But overall, no complaints. Sunday was a very good day for us.
So I thought you guys got beat up this weekend. I guess now that you mentioned the others.
No, Sunday was good. Sunday, the 10 a.m. games were good. We won. We did well in both of the afternoon games. And I think you remember this. I said on the show we really liked the 49ers last week. We stayed ahead of the market on that game. We stayed at 3.5 when there was a lot of threes out there. And we did well in that game as well. So, no, Sunday was a pretty good day for us.
Oh, that was one of your bonanza picks. Solid yeah. work there.
Easy winner there. I appreciated both of the primetime games, actually, because you didn't need to watch the second half of either of them. Both of them were over right away.
Oh, that's lovely.
I respect that.
Yeah, that's lovely. good stuff. So I guess that's the main stuff. So let's get to the Thanksgiving Day. Always interesting. I would say Thanksgiving is the biggest ghost day for a sports book of the holidays.
Biggest, what do you mean? You mean with
just
people
empty.
Not being here?
Yeah, it's just really
empty. Oh, no. I don't know about that. I mean, I think it's a little bit different now. I know when I was a teller here in 2007, we were swamped because we had kind of a skeleton crew, which is understandable as a holiday. And there was three NFL games, and I think USC was playing. There was some high, like relatively high-profile college football game, and all the favorites covered in one. So by the end of the night, everybody in the crowd was just flush with money, and we were absolutely jammed. I do think it's different now, though. Now we're in this era of phone accounts, and for the most part, people that want to bet the Thanksgiving Day games, they can do it without even leaving their house, so why would they?
Yeah, but then like Christmas, because you have different religions that travel, and it's just... I feel like, at least my memory of it. But anyways, good point about the
phone.
You got
three NFL games, man. Anytime you have three NFL games, you're going to be a little bit busy.
All right, so let's talk about it. And I voiced a piece for Daily Wager and SportsCenter. It's kind of a fun piece just talking about the history. I think 1966 is when the Bears and Lions got involved. I'm going off memory here. But now they're playing each other. And who's playing quarterback here? What's going on?
Well, yeah, I think Trubisky for the Bears, and then we're monitoring the situation with Jeff Driscoll, the Lions quarterback. No one has outright come out and said that he's hurt, but the Lions were out looking for a backup quarterback on the waiver wire. We read that they tried to sign Josh Johnson, who, if you remember, played for Washington at the end of last season, but I guess he's already under contract with the XFL. So my question is, why are the Lions out there looking for a backup quarterback on Tuesday for a Thursday game, unless Jeff Driscoll's hurt?
Good question.
So we think Jeff Driscoll's hurt, and we move the game up to Chicago -3 on the road. If Driscoll doesn't play, the backup quarterback is David Blough from Purdue. The Lions obviously will go up. It can only go up so much. We are dealing with Mitch Trubisky here on the other sideline and Matt Nagy on the other sideline. It's not going to go up a huge number, but I do think it'll go up closer to maybe even close to a touchdown.
Interesting.
I would keep an eye on that situation. That's my point.
Driscoll. Yeah, I hear you there.
And Driscoll's not exactly Patrick Mahomes, by the way.
No, he's not. The Bears did not cover. I thought they were going to. But if there's a quarterback situation, they have to get this done, don't they?
They have to move on. Win this game. I don't know. I would never say the Bears have to do anything with that offense, but you got to think if Detroit's got to rush in a third string QB and they got to deal with Khalil Mack and that Chicago defense, it's going to be a very long day for that young man.
All right, more with John Murray in a moment, but first, let me ask you this: is anything better than watching football? Of course, there is. Watching football with a DraftKings lineup on the line, especially this week. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football, is giving new users a free shot at over $100,000 in prizes when you sign up with my code, Doug. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, throw, and catch mean more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Just draft your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Guys like Lamar Jackson, I mean, is it worth the price? Probably, given what happened last night. Always fun to keep an eye on that. I also like Aaron Rodgers going against this Giants defense. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching the game quite like having a completely free shot at over $100,000 in prizes. Download the DraftKings app now. New users enter code Doug at signup
to get a completely free shot at over $100,000 in prizes. Again, that's code Doug to get a totally free shot at $100,000 in prizes only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, next game, Buffalo-Dallas. What does Jerry Jones have in store here? A little cameo by Boston, or excuse me, by Buffalo here on the Thanksgiving. You don't see that very often.
No, you don't, and you also don't see Buffalo at 8-3 very often. The Bills are having a very good season. I think it's padded by their schedule, but the bottom line is they're 8-3. We opened this game Dallas minus 7.5. Took bets right away. We went to 7. We saw more money on Buffalo at plus 7. And right now we've got the Cowboys minus 6.5. But look, we're going to need the Bills by the time this game kicks off on Thursday afternoon. I can tell you that much. A lot of teasers and moneyline parlays are going to start with Dallas, and they're going to go to New Orleans later in the night.
Hard not to, right? It's hard not to like teasing New Orleans.
Oh, I know. And that's another thing, too. If Jeff Driscoll is ruled out for Detroit, then actually those teasers and moneyline parlays are going to start with Chicago in the morning game. And it's going to be Chicago, Dallas, New Orleans.
That makes sense. New Orleans, they little vulnerable of late.
Mm-hmm. They should have lost on Sunday. I don't know what the hell Carolina was doing there at the goal line. That would have really made our Sunday that much better if we could have knocked out all those money line parlays that had the Saints.
Yeah, it was puzzling. It was puzzling. But they get the win, and now a little rematch from the team that cost many people their survivor pool entry if they lasted that long. Saints losing at home is 13.5-point favorites. It was the biggest upset by point spread of the NFL season. So now a little payback here.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a game everyone's going to bet on the Saints. I know the Falcons just beat the Saints, but the Falcons also just lost at home to the Bucks. Everyone's going to bet New Orleans. We've already got a ticket count of over 5-1 on this game. We're going to need the Falcons pretty big in this spot.
You mentioned the potential line move with the quarterback news of Detroit. Other than that, what line moves are you expecting here with these three Thanksgiving Day games? Basically, is New Orleans going to go higher off 7, lower? Dallas, is it going to touch 7? It's already touching 7 in some places.
If Chicago and Dallas both win and cover, I wouldn't be shocked to see the Saints number move up a little bit. The only difference is this isn't a Monday night or a Sunday night game, so a lot of those parlays that will include the Saints are going to go to the weekend as well. It's not like it's the last game.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of parlays that start with Chicago and Dallas and then go to New Orleans. The question is how many of them will end with New Orleans and how many of them will carry to the weekend to a team like, let's say, the Eagles or the Panthers or the Packers.
Gotcha. All right, well, let's turn the page to the weekend. Packers laying 6.5. Now, I heard a comment. We have a piece out by Ben Fox on ESPN.com about the value of the quarterback to the point spread and Rodgers being the most valuable. You know, a lot of it depends on the backup situation. A lot of it also depends on the original game line, so it's not a straight chart. But moral of the story is someone said that they feel like Rodgers is kind of washed.
Really?
I felt that was a little extreme.
Well, he certainly struggled against San Francisco on Sunday night, but I don't know that I'd call him washed. I think that's a little extreme. I mean, there are some other veteran quarterbacks. I'm not going to name names, but there's a few guys out there that I think are washed, but I wouldn't put Rodgers in that list. Not yet.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you right there. That was an aggressive take.
We got 21 bets on this game. Remember, we're recording on Tuesday morning. I don't want to repeat myself too much, but it's only Tuesday morning. We got 21 bets on the game. One of them is on the New York Giants. So there you go.
You know, I love that stuff. I'm a sucker for it.
I know you do. And I got another one of those coming up here down the rundown. Even more one-sided and thus even funnier.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Such a good tease. You're excellent, Murray.
Thank you.
Okay.
No, we'll need the Giants pretty big there, seriously.
Hey, they had a nice cover last week. Nice.
They did.
Oh,
they got a lucky cover last week, but we'll
nice
take it.
Door.
I think my favorite storyline in the NFL this past week, well, my two favorites, the Dwayne Haskins selfie was really funny, but my favorite one was the reports that if Jason Garrett gets fired by the Cowboys, the Giants want to hire him to replace Pat Shurmur.
Oh, my God.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that. Now, look, I do think Garrett gets a little over the top criticized. I agree with probably 90% of it, is my point.
Okay. I just think that it's funny to me when a team fires a coach and then a division rival says, oh, that's the guy we want. We saw it last year with the other New York team hiring Adam Gase, and it would be very amusing to me if the Giants did it with Jason Garrett.
Counterpoint. Maybe the Giants are just trying to get the Cowboys to keep him.
To keep Garrett. Yeah, that's not a bad strategy. If I was the Redskins or the Eagles, I'd be hoping Garrett stays in Dallas, and I'd sure be hoping that Pat Shurmur stays with the Giants.
Maybe that's just a ploy to make Jerry Jones think, oh, wait, they like him? All right, maybe he's good.
This guy's great. Let's give him an extension.
Speaking of your Redskins, catching 10 here at Carolina.
Yeah, nothing really to report on this game. Carolina be very popular in parlays, moneyline parlays. Not that they're playing well right now, but just because the Redskins are so bad. Redskins did get a win, though, last week that was really good for the book. And the very funny Dwayne Haskins selfies. I think he was just shocked there was actually anybody in the stands at a Redskins game.
Yeah. That was something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's just the Redskins are barely even a professional football organization. And it says a lot about the Lions losing to those guys.
What do you mean? The locker room's strong. Everything's good.
Oh, yeah. No, things are on the up and up. The Redskins winning that game, very good news for the Bengals. The Bengals now with a two-game lead for that first overall pick.
And that's why they're going to Dalton. They have a little buffer.
Yeah. They got a little comfort zone there, yeah.
It's just crazy. okay, moving on. You mentioned the Baltimore-San Francisco game. Look, this is the game of the weekend, no doubt.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Ravens are laying 6. I'm excited to see the San Francisco front try to contain that rushing attack.
How is this game not flexed into the afternoon? I mean, look at the afternoon schedule on Sunday. It's total crap. I mean, unless I'm blind here, there's only two games, and it's Rams, Cardinals, and Chargers, Broncos. How are they not doing this 49ers Raiders, Ravens game?
Raiders, Chiefs.
Oh, I'm sorry, Raiders, Chiefs. I did miss that one.
But why can they flex stuff to the afternoon? I thought you can only flex it to Sunday night.
I don't know. I mean, they're the NFL. Can't they do whatever they want? I don't see how this game's not in the afternoon. This is the best game of the week. I think the Monday night game is really good, but we'll get into that later. But Baltimore, San Francisco, it's the best game of the week. It's a possible Super Bowl preview. I think we're going to get a lot of money on both sides. We'll need the 49ers because everyone's looking to bet on Baltimore right now, but there are people that are going to bet the 49ers as well. You know, we're always prisoners of the moment. We just saw the Ravens kill the Rams on Monday night in L.A., but think about how good the 49ers looked on Sunday night against Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting Kittle back, and obviously he makes a big difference. That's
yeah,
I'm awesome. That should be the Sunday night game. It should, no doubt.
Oh, I agree with you. I'm with you, but I think at the very least, put it in the afternoon. Not much going on Sunday afternoon here.
Okay, let's keep it rolling here.
I see why I thought there was only two afternoon games. Looks like our guys have the wrong time in the system for the Raiders-Chiefs game.
Uh-oh.
So I'm going to go talk to them about it. They've got it set up at 10 a.m. It's actually at 1:25.
Start firing.
It's a good thing we're doing this podcast, Doug. We catch little mistakes like that by the team, but I'm going to make sure that gets fixed.
So nothing has jumped out to me in terms of a play. I know we got Bankroll Bonanza coming up, but just in terms of nothing stands out.
You're being too cautious this year. I have one play I do like, and then tomorrow night I've got plans to go out with a good friend of mine who's going to give us a prop pick.
Yeah, the Prince of Props.
Thursday. But that's all I'm going to have. That's all I'm going to have this week is my one pick and then his play, which I'll unveil tomorrow. Tomorrow night.
I almost tweeted last night a second half play on the Ravens. It was pick minus 115. Man, that looked yummy. Just after the first half, I'm like, so teams maybe sometimes take their foot off the gas, but would they do that by running? And I was like, well, the Rams can't stop them running, so what makes them think this won't be a blowout?
Well, the only thing that really stopped them was they finally took Lamar Jackson out of the game, because certainly they could have won by even more than they did.
I mean, they even went for it on fourth down in their own territory up like 30.
They got an analytics guy that they're – you know, it's not enough to just praise Harbaugh for hiring an analytics guy, because a lot of teams, I think, do that. You got to praise Harbaugh because he actually listens to the guy.
Right.
Anybody could just hire some math genius and say, I want you to stand next to me on the sidelines. But it takes a great leader to actually listen to him and say, this guy knows the math better than I do, and I'm going to do what he says. That's why one of the many reasons why John Harbaugh is such a great coach.
Who would have thought that John would have passed Jim in terms of just the reputation as a coach?
Yeah, and I remember last year, Harbaugh was kind of on the hot seat in Baltimore. You know, they hadn't made the playoffs in a few years, and there were some rumblings that he might be fired. If John Harbaugh got fired right now, he'd last on the open market for about 10 seconds.
It is awesome to see. It's just a new twist that I love having in the NFL. Okay, Tennessee and Indianapolis. This Colts team, pretty interesting. Another nail-biter. So they've played one game that was decided by more than 7 points all year. Crazy.
Yeah, and what do you do with this game other than make the point spread 3? I mean, it's got to be some variation of 3. Right now we've got Indianapolis minus 3, even money. Action's pretty split. There's money coming in on both sides of this game. Feels like there's just nothing separating these AFC South teams, man.
It's crazy, the quarterbacks too, right? I mean, Tannehill saved the day for the Titans.
Oh, I know. And it'll be interesting to see how the market for Marcus Mariota this offseason. I still think he's an okay player, but there's no doubt that the Titans have been much better with Tannehill in there at quarterback.
It's just the power rating and the stats have just been off the charts in terms of the disparity. Okay, let's go to the next game. And Eagles, back-to-back disappointing losses. Now they're on the road in Miami, laying 9.5. I think this has upset potential. Dolphins might be one of my plays here.
I thought you didn't like anything.
Well, just, so far, I mean, we're going down the card is what I'm saying.
I know. I'm just kidding. You know, keep an eye on this. You know, I just pulled it up here. Jordan Howard is questionable. Lane Johnson is questionable. Alshon Jeffrey is questionable. Nelson Agholor is questionable. So many key members of the Philadelphia offense. They've been in and out of the lineup this season. If they get all those guys back, there's no reason why they couldn't smash the Dolphins on Sunday. This was the ticket count game I alluded to earlier, 25-1 on Philadelphia. And that's literally, there's been 26 bets, and 25 of them are on the Eagles.
I just don't get it.
This number's actually gone up, by the way, from 7.5 to 9.5. That's just us moving with the market. I should clarify that. It's not as if there's like really respected action we're moving with here, but we'll need Miami in this game. I think Miami, somebody reminded those guys that they're supposed to be losing, and they've kind of shown it the last couple of weeks against Buffalo and Cleveland.
Kind of like the mammals here. We'll see. Don't love it. Like it. Okay. Let's move to the Chiefs game. This was everyone thought that it was a look-ahead spot for the Raiders. They certainly played the part last weekend. Now, what were they looking ahead to? Well, they're 9.5, 10-point dogs here in the Chiefs. What was the look-ahead line? What was it, like probably 7.5, and it moved up?
I think it was 8.5, and then we reopened it at 10 after the Raiders-Jets game, and now we're down to 9.5. A little bit of money did come in on Oakland here. Kansas City off their bye, and I'm sure we're going to hear this a lot this week. Andy Reid off of his bye week has been great, really, his whole career.
Yes. Yes. That was something that was often a bet on spot. I mean, obviously the Eagles, the latter part of the Eagles days, it was a trend that got bounced around. Yeah, I would probably take the Raiders here, but it's hard to after last weekend.
Yeah, it is. The Raiders, you know, not a very good defensive team, and they're an overachieving team. They played such a hard schedule the first half of the year. You have to wonder, are these guys going to run out of gas here down the stretch?
Yeah, they're the most traveled team in the NFL.
Yeah. No, and last week they go west to east. They come home. They got to go on the road, play the Kansas City Chiefs. One other note on that game, we reopened the Raiders playoff prop this morning, and we reopened it at no minus 450, yes plus 350 on will the Raiders make it to the postseason.
Yeah, they were feeling themselves a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we got as low as I think we had a guy bet minus 160 on the no. I mean, it got as low as minus 160 on the no. So right now up to minus 450, so that gentleman's looking pretty good with that bet.
That was a sharp play. I thought the Raiders had a chance to maybe catch the Chiefs if Mahomes' injury from his ankle return. I don't know. Next game intrigues me because it involves the Tampa Bay Bucs and Jameis Winston. He is a chance to get the old triple crown you don't see very often in quarterbacks. The lead the league in passing, lead the league in passing touchdowns, and also lead the league in interceptions.
Well, is there any question that he's the most fun player in the NFL right now? I mean, is that even debatable? I mean, the guy, he's got great receivers in Tampa Bay. Mike Evans is one of the most underrated players in the NFL. Their offense is fun to watch, and he also just throws these egregious interceptions that sometimes get returned the other way. Jameis Winston, a lot of fun to watch.
How many overs? They've played 11 games. How many overs do you think they've gone?
I think it's like 9 or 10 out of 11 have gone over. It's some crazy number.
Nine. It's 9 in a row.
Oh, I mean, it's just wild, man.
It is pretty remarkable. So
we opened this game. You know, we actually opened this game 3 on Sunday. Jacksonville minus 3. Market really likes Tampa Bay. We're down to Jacksonville minus 1 here. Not off of action. I should clarify that. It's just us moving with the market.
Yeah, the Bucs had failed to cover 6 straight, then did get the cover last weekend. He's exciting. You said it best. He is exciting.
He's fun. He's the Rex Grossman of this generation.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't think Grossman ever put up the positives.
Oh, I don't agree with that. I thought Rex was a blast, man. I mean, he wasn't as good as Jameis, but I just mean in terms of entertainment value.
I think he's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I think he's better than that too. I think Jameis Winston is a little bit better than people will give him credit for. I know he makes a lot of mistakes. I'm going to put it nicely, but I do think he's a little better than people give him credit for.
Right. I was talking about more the big swings that Fitzpatrick has. Remember, the Bucs were good to start last year. He's throwing touchdowns everywhere. Okay. Jets, big win, obviously, last weekend. And they're laying 3.5 here at Cincinnati. Such a different team, obviously, when the Jets are healthy on defense. They have Sam Darnold back, as opposed to when it was Luke Falk. And hard. I mean, I would love this number, obviously, if Driscoll were playing and not Andy Dalton. Or, excuse me, Finley were playing and not Andy Dalton, but I don't know.
Darnold might be the answer to your question earlier, the Ben Fox article about which player's worth the most of the point spread. Think about the Jets when Darnold had mono for a few weeks. They were one of the 3 or 4 worst teams in the league. And with Darnold in there, they're actually like close to league average.
Well, the difficult thing is that was a third stringer in Luke Falk because it was Trevor Siemian got blasted like a half a quarter and then, you know, broke his ankle or whatever it was.
And that's a very fair point. I agree. You're right. But Sam Darnold means a lot to this Jets team. I mean, I really like Sam Darnold. I think he's got a chance to be a really good player in this league. And I enjoyed the story of that he partied after the game and people were like shocked that a 22-year-old NFL quarterback shocked without having fun. That's crazy. I can't believe that. Jets minus 3.5 at the Bengals. We'll need the Bengals. Everybody's going to bet the Jets in this game. Jets 2 straight blowout victories, and the Bengals are 0-11. That's the handicap. That's why everybody's betting the Jets. That's it.
How about the Rams? After last week, they're only laying 3 against Arizona in Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, it says a lot about their performance last night against Baltimore. We had this line 4. We closed it when the Monday night game started. We reopened it 3. No real action on the game here, but the Rams are a team that their season ended last night. Their NFC title defense is over, and they're just going to have to play out the string here. I think Arizona probably a little better than people realize just because their division is so good. I mean, the Rams are going to finish 3rd in that division, and they're the defending conference champions. You've got Seattle and San Francisco up there. It's a very tough division to make up any ground in.
Two things stand out. One is that you got to question how much motivation this Rams team is going to have. I mean, they basically just lacked any sort of sense of urgency in the second half last night. Now, granted, they were overmatched, yep. But you wonder if this is just a dead man walking team. And then two, the part of that is the belief in Goff and the money he got.
Well, you can make a pretty good case that Arizona's got a much brighter future than the Rams do right now. That Arizona's got the rookie quarterback, Kyler Murray. Arizona hasn't traded away all their first round picks. Arizona doesn't have all kinds of salary cap issues coming. The Rams really, this group they have now is the group that they're going to have to go with the next few years because they gave big deals to Jared Goff and Todd Gurley, and they're going to have to give a big deal to Jalen Ramsey, right? They traded 2 first-round picks for the guy. They're not just going to let him walk.
That's the agreement between the two parties.
So they're going to have to give Jalen Ramsey. They're going to make him the highest-paid cornerback in the NFL this offseason in all likelihood, And then this team they have is going to be their team moving forward because they're going to have very little cap room and they're not going to have any draft picks.
I like Arizona a little bit this weekend. Chargers at Denver. This Chargers team, man, after that experience in Mexico, four interceptions, all that, and then
they let us down in that game. I mean, how could the Chargers not cover six in that game? I can give you the answer because they kept kicking field goals in the first half like idiots. Chargers -2.5, -120. Denver, a team that probably that score last week against Buffalo might have even been a little misleading. I think Denver got beat even worse than that 20-3 score indicated.
Yes, well really, said.
The only thing to watch for, I've read on Twitter that Derwin James might go for the Chargers. Derwin James probably was the best safety in the league last year, probably the best player on that Chargers team. He hasn't played this whole year. Keep an eye on his status for Sunday.
Okay, next game's interesting. Are we going with Hodges over Rudolph? Do we know who's playing for Pittsburgh?
I saw a tweet from your colleague Adam Schefter, actually, right as we were getting ready to record this, that they were going to go with Duck Hodges.
Damn it.
At the quarterback position.
I've been saying all along like he's that. Better because I want to lay the points with Cleveland.
This is a tweet from 34 minutes ago from at Adam Schefter. Steelers make it official and announce quarterback Devlin Hodges will start Sunday versus Cleveland.
Yeah, I've been saying it for a while. Rudolph stinks. He's just not good.
He's not very good. I thought the criticism of him in the Cleveland game was a little bit unfair because all of his receivers were out, the same way Carson Wentz has all of his receivers out right now. Mm-hmm. But certainly, I don't think the Steelers have anything to lose with going to Duck Hodges. Mason Rudolph, just not a very good player. And then, what's the difference? The Steelers are still, by the way, right in the thick of the AFC playoff chase.
It's bizarre.
I think if the season ended right now, they would be the number six seed, if I saw that correctly.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
I mean, I would say give a lot of credit to Coach Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, Tomlin. Tomlin's right there for Coach of the Year, like right there for the discussion.
Right now, Pittsburgh, Oakland, Indianapolis, and Tennessee are all 6-5, tied for sixth place. Now, Cleveland's only a game behind that group, though. So if Cleveland wins this game on Sunday, they could jump into the playoff picture, too. We were at 2.5. We did see a player we respect bet Pittsburgh +2.5. Right now we've got Cleveland -2 in this game.
Okay. Makes sense. I know Cleveland's definitely still alive in the playoffs. We've been saying it for a couple of weeks now because their schedule's so easy, but they got to keep taking care of business, obviously. Margin of error zilch, but it is crazy. Mm-hmm. They're still in the mix. Let's go to the actual Sunday night game, the one that we have to watch because the Niners and Ravens were not flexed, is New England at Houston. This Texans
New England
team.
-3.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Doug, we don't have to watch it. This is America. But go ahead. We don't have to watch it.
Fair point. I kind of like Houston here at home, but, yeah. I mean, I don't bet against Belichick. I just don't.
I don't know that there's any value when you're only getting 3 points. You know, we were getting 3.5 points with Baltimore at home against New England a few weeks ago.
Good point.
I don't trust Bill O'Brien at all. New England, every time you count them out, they show up, they win the game. We'll need Houston pretty big here. Tickets about 8-1 on the Patriots. Everybody's going to bet the Patriots because they're going to see, hey, I only have to lay 3 points with Belichick, and I'll do it. And I can't say I blame him.
It is hard just because, I mean, look, Houston's good. They're a good team. But are they, like, a really good team? No, they're not.
No, they're just what they are every year. They're a solid team that's got a good chance to win the AFC South, maybe play Buffalo in a wild card game. I mean, that's definitely a possible outcome for them. I'll tell you right now, that'd be the early game Saturday. You know when they do the wild card round,
yeah.
That first
ESPN.
Game Saturday is always the dud? Yeah. Oh, I didn't say ESPN. I would never say any game on ESPN is a dud. But usually that first Saturday afternoon game, I feel like it's always the Texans, by the way. And I'm pretty sure Bills Texans would get that slot.
Probably. It's certainly headed there, it seems like. All right, Monday night, you mentioned it. It's also Kirk Cousins in prime time. He did deliver against the Cowboys the last time, so maybe getting the exercising some demons. It's Seahawks -3 flat.
Yeah, this is really a great game. This could be the best Monday night game of the year. Everybody's betting on Seattle here. I like the Vikings in this spot. I don't think Seattle's that good. And the Vikings, from what I've read, it looks like they might get Adam Thielen back. I know the Vikings have been a better home team, but, you know, really Seattle's been a better road team. I think Seattle's undefeated on the road. You want to keep an eye on the injury report. Thielen, questionable right now, and Jadeveon Clowney is questionable for the Seahawks. Last time we saw him on Monday Night Football, he was a one-man wrecking crew against the 49ers.
Yeah, keep Vikings would be my lean, too.
If the Vikings can run the football, I know that's kind of a stupid, basic comment, but if they can run the football, keep Russell Wilson on the sideline, I think they win this game outright. Big NFC playoff ramifications here.
For sure. All right, buddy. Before we let you go, we got to play some Bonanza.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right. I'm in the winner's circle for the first time all season, I believe. 2-0 for yours truly. Only nickel plays, though, Mr. Director. Of course, you went 2-1, so you still won, but just not as much as I did.
Yeah, what did I lose on? Houston?
Yes, you lost on the Texans on Thursday night. Got hooked.
I liked Houston.
Yeah, well, it was one of those coin flip outcomes. I got there with under 39 in the Bengals game, and then the teaser with the Steelers and the Seahawks. So I did okay.
Nice.
So a lot
pretty
of
pretty good.
I've
only got one play.
Oh, okay. Well, until the Prince of Props.
Right. Well, you know, you're trying to pick Sunday's games on a Tuesday, Doug. That's tough.
It's a very good point. It's a very good point.
Very good. Very good point. Brought in two for the money when McConaughey made Sunday's picks for Tuesday. Pacino didn't like it, but McConaughey was on his way to play winged foot.
Yes. He was just picking him out of nowhere, and then he obviously got a run. So I have play I like. And I'm going to get it now just because I do think the market's going to move. We talked about it.
Okay.
I think the Packers bounce back, and I'm not exactly impressed with what the Giants defense did with Trubisky. I think Aaron Rodgers, a little different situation. I'll grab the 6.5, -110 in the marketplace, except for you guys. So I'll go a dime. I'll go a dime on the Pack.
I'm going to just do one play for a dime as well, and it's not available here, but it is available. I see my friends at the South Point have it. I'm going to go with the Vikings +3, -110. I'll do that one for a dime.
Okay. Ooh, so you really like it.
That's all I'm going to do today. I have been texting with the Prince himself. We are planning to go out tomorrow. I got a feeling tomorrow's going to be a little out of hand, though, because there's a Champions League soccer game that we're going to meet up for at 3 Eastern. Liverpool's playing. And, you know, if we start drinking at 3 Eastern, that doesn't bode well for the evening. But hopefully we'll come up with something on Wednesday night.
Now, Murray, if something happens, just remember,
it's not your fault. It's not your fault.
It's the soccer game at 3 Eastern.
Yeah, that's happened before because you go to these pubs and they got like real beers in the pubs. Like I like to drink a Carlsberg when I watch Liverpool play. Those Carlsbergs really pile up on you in the afternoon, man. But I think we'll be okay, and we'll come up with a prop play. We'll release it on Twitter, and I hope you guys all enjoy your Thanksgivings.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with one play. So you're not going to get an early play on the Bears, maybe waiting for the Lions quarterback situation?
I may or may not have a ticket in my pocket on the Chicago Bears. I'll just say that. But it looks like, for the most part, the full market now is at 3. But I got a couple bucks on the Bears.
That could be a bonanza move if I was really on top of things.
Well, we got to see what happens here. Obviously, the quarterback situation, we're all monitoring that right now. I can tell you this. I'm working on the prop numbers as we speak for the games this weekend. We're not going to do props on the Bears-Lions game because we don't know the quarterback situation. And we do that sometimes. If there's a questionable quarterback, we just won't do props on the game because it affects so many other players as well. So unless something changes between now and tomorrow, which is not impossible, we're only planning to have props on the other two games on Thanksgiving and then the Sunday and Monday night games.
Makes sense. It makes sense. Okay. All right, my man. So, yeah, lean card for us on the Bonanza, but we'll be adding via Twitter.
That's the plan.
All right. All right, my friend, safe travels to you. Enjoy the Prince of Props and the family this weekend, and looking forward to the follow-up plays.
Yes, sir. We'll talk soon.
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Behind the Bets podcast. Again, we taped both of these on Tuesday. Thanks to everyone for flexibility in their listening habits. Hopefully we made your commutes and travel during this holiday weekend a little bit more enjoyable. We will follow up with more plays. But no Mike Clay. The props are not out yet, so it's hard for him to give picks. Although at least he's off his heater a little bit. Now, when I say he's off, just, you know, I think he went 500 last week, but he was on a scorching tear. So maybe Mike will follow up with a tweet with his plays, but unfortunately no Mike Clay props. But thanks to everyone again, and thanks to Mr. Murray, obviously, and thanks to you, Taylor, for filling in as well. And have everyone have an awesome, awesome, and happy Thanksgiving.